Now, if you're not completely confused, let me explain. Because of situation and other things, I needed to present this lesson today. We're going to have a special prayer service tonight, and we encourage everyone to be here tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to mention not only the prayer needs that we mentioned today, but many, many others to keep everyone informed on that. That will be at 6 o'clock. We're going to also sing a little bit more, but I wanted to present this four-lesson series, and I wanted to conclude today. If you remember, when we started this series, the title was, How Can We Grow? But in the second lesson, we changed that title from How Can We Grow? To We Are Going to Grow. And then last Sunday night, we even added this addendum, We Are Going to Grow or Die Trying. Well, tonight I'd like to present, or this morning I would like to present, the final lesson in this series. However, it will stand independent, so you won't be behind at all. Not only is the title of this series important, but so is the theme. The theme is, it takes teamwork to make the dream work. And brethren, it's our dream to convert Port Lavaca and Calhoun County and abroad, but it's going to take teamwork, as we know. For the first three lessons in this series, we really talked about two things. We talked about finding the lost and helping them find Jesus. We used verses like Jesus' statement, I came to seek and save that which is lost. We used verses like that and others, the Great Commission. And one of the saddest things, the saddest words in any vocabulary is the word lost. Once we've found someone, once we've studied with them as a congregation or individually, once they find Jesus and are saved, the saddest thing possible would be for them later to become lost. That's such a sad word, lost. You go into the woods and you get lost. You're driving in a major city and you're not familiar with it, and you get lost. You go to the zoo and you lose your toddler for just a little while, or something less important. You lose your keys, you lose your purse, you lose your wallet, you lose your car. One of the saddest words in any vocabulary is this word lost. As we get older, we lose our hearing, we lose our balance, we lose our memory. One of the saddest, most frightening things imaginable, to lose something. But if the greatest blessing known to humanity is salvation, then the worst thing that could possibly happen would be to lose our salvation. And the Bible says that we can. We were going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22. Trust all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every appearance of evil. Abstain from even the appearance of things that are against the teaching of God. And brethren, we do have the teaching of God. It is our lamp, it is our light, Psalm 119. And Jesus said it will help us find that straight and narrow way that leads to everlasting life. However, and this is one of those big howevers, there is a growing number of people, a tremendously, rapidly growing number of people that just don't care at all about Jesus. They just don't care at all about the Bible. They don't care about the church. In fact, they don't care about any religions. They have no respect. And instead of just leaving us alone to let us go about our Great Commission, instead of doing that, they try to put every kind of stumbling block in our path. But listen to what the Bible says about them and what the Bible says to them. I'm reading from Matthew 18, verse 6 and following. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better. Now get this mental picture. It would be better if they took a giant millstone off of its apparatus, tied that giant millstone around our neck, and cast us into the depths of the sea. It would be better for that to happen than those of us who know the truth to cause someone to lose their soul, to offend them to the point that they would lose their soul. And brethren, that's what's happening in the world. It's happening on college campuses. It's happening in the media. It's happening in the entertainment industry. It's happening on the political stage. People think it's funny to make fun of the Lord. They think they can snub their nose at the Lord and never pay for that insolence. Listen to Isaiah. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Galatians 6 also says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. If we sow to the world, we're going to reap to the world. We sow to the Spirit, Paul says, we will reap everlasting life. Now let's get to the point of the lesson. Keeping the saved saved. Have you ever really thought of it that way? Once we find someone who is lost, we help them find the conversion experience. We see them baptized into the Lord. They are saved. But we need to keep them saved. Now, I realize this lesson could and will go in a few different directions, but let's begin with the very obvious, the most obvious thing. Brethren, we are our brother's keeper. Genesis chapter 4, 9 and following. We are our brother's keeper. Just as Cain was to look out for his younger brother Abel, we are to look out for each other. Just as Cain was to help stand by and protect his brother, we are to stand by and protect each other. When Cain and Abel were facing danger, they faced it together. And when we see a brother and sister in Christ who is facing spiritual danger, brethren, we need to face it with them. In Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Paul writes, brethren, if any man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, those of us who are more mature in the Lord, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness or the spirit of gentleness, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. And then Paul says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Jesus was asked, what's the great commandment of the law? Love. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love each other. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is the law of Christ. Let me give you a scenario. Let's say next Saturday you decide you're going to have a big family. So you and the family make all the arrangements. You know what time you're going to show up. Let's say you're going to show up at 10 o'clock. You're going to barbecue hot dogs, and you're going to enjoy each other's fellowship. You're going to eat lunch. And then after lunch, if you want to go fishing, you can go fishing. If you want to go walking or hiking, everything is fine. You have it all arranged. You make the arrangement that at 4 o'clock, we're all going to get back together. We're going to clean up, pack up, and we're going to go our separate. Not everyone is going to be back, but almost everyone is back. You decide, well, let's wait 30 more minutes. All right, in 30 minutes, everyone is back except one person, your 12-year-old daughter. Are you going to leave? Are you going to leave her there? Absolutely not. Let me give you another scenario. You've been in the congregation for a period of time. You've seen these young people grow up right before your very eyes. There's one particular family, you're real close to the family, they have one son. You see this young boy grow up. You see him baptized with your own eyes. He participates. participates in the worship service. After graduation, he finds a job in Wolfabaca, which is very, very rare indeed, but he's still a member of the congregation. He still leads prayers, and he still waits on the Lord's table. And then you notice he hasn't been there for a couple of weeks. And you ask about him, and they say, well, he probably has been out of town. Maybe he's been ill. I don't really know, but he'll be here soon. A couple of weeks later, you still haven't seen him. And so now you inquire with more detail, what's happening with this young man? Started associating with the wrong crowd. Not the crowd he grew up with in church, but another crowd. And they're starting to influence him to do other things on Sunday, and probably influence him to do other things this week. Scenario number one. Let's say he's your son. Are you not going to say something to your son who is running with the wrong crowd, who's not coming to church? Of course you are. He's your son. Second scenario. He's not your son, but he's the son of your best friend. Your best friend at church. Your families sit together. He's not your son. He's the son of your best friend. Are you not going to say anything? Of course you are. He's the son of your best friend. Third scenario. He's not your son. He's not your best friend's son. But he's somebody's son. And he's losing his soul right before your very eyes. Doing things that he knows are wrong and you know are wrong. And he's missing the encouragement from a worship service. You know you're going to say something to him, even though he's not your son or your best friend's son. He's somebody's son. And you want him to go to heaven. And shame, shame on us if we don't say something to that young man or young woman. Or not so young man, or not so young woman. Brethren, God wants all men everywhere to repent. He wants all men everywhere to be saved. But we've got to do our part. We've got to help. Because we're also somebody's son or somebody's daughter. And somebody helped us find Christ. And somebody has helped us during difficult times to stay faithful to the Lord. And now it's our turn. You know, we don't sing this song very often, and I know why. It's the absolute saddest song in the book. First verse says, when in a better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls will be if any lost one there shall cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. And the chorus says, you never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the way to see. You met me day by day and knew I was astray. Yet you never mentioned him to me. And the saddest verse says, a few sweet words may guide a lost one to his side, or turn sad eyes on Calvary. So work as days go by, that yonder none may cry, you never mentioned him to me. Listen to what James says. James 5, verse 19 and 20. Brethren, if any among you wanders away, isn't that what we're talking about? If any of your number wanders away from the truth, and one of you, it doesn't matter which one, as long as one of us does, and one of you turns him back to the truth, know this, that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Brethren, God wants all men everywhere to repent. He wants everyone to be saved. And we are our brother's keeper. And we know the golden rule. If that was us that drifted away, you know we would want someone to come to us and explain to us our need to come home. So what can we do to keep the saved saved? I know ultimately it is their decision. And I realize that some people, when they're gone, just never come back. But let me offer these suggestions. Number one, never stop praying for them. That sheep that's wandered off, the shepherd still cared about him. Never stop praying for him. Number two, never stop at least trying to talk to them. And at least trying to study with them. Number three, certainly don't turn against them. That's what the devil wants us to do. Number four, always encourage them. And finally, number five, be honest with them about their condition. If they need to repent and ask forgiveness, we need to tell them, you need to repent and ask forgiveness. If they need to come home, we need to tell them, you need to come home. We can't justify where they are because of the pressures of the world. Brethren, we need to be the pressure makers. We need to pressure people to remain faithful to the Lord. And that's why we had this series of lessons. And that's why I wanted to make sure I preached this lesson today. It takes the whole team to make the dream work. Find your part. Find where you can help and begin helping. And if you know someone who needs your encouragement and your personal love and attention, give it to them. Your life is busy. My life is busy. Everybody's life is busy. But few will find the road that leads to everlasting life. And we want it to be the people we care about. Perhaps this morning there is someone who needs to respond to our Lord's invitation. If it is you, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?